Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am still thrilled because we are still in the book of Psalms. And you know that this book of Psalms exposes us, I think, to the most beautiful verses that were written in our Bible. And it is worthy to note also that King David, he didn't write all of the Psalms. He only wrote 73 of the 150 that are in our Bible, our canon. 12 were written by Asaph. 2 were written by Solomon, or at least they were ascribed to King Solomon. 1 was written by Moses. 1 was written by Ethan. And 12 were written by the sons of Korah. Now, I highly suggest that as we go through the study, that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops or tablets or Bible apps or regular Bibles, if that's the case, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, as we always do every 10 minutes or so during the program, we will have a commercial break, which at that time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. We have a chat room established just for that particular purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to personally thank all of those who are out there that have given me feedback on the show. My precious brothers and sisters, I am using that feedback, and I thank you so very much for it. Now, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus, or I should say God, said, keep therefore my commandments and do them, for this is your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these commandments and shall say, surely you are a wise and understanding people about God. This is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6. So the promise is that if you keep God's commandments, that will be your wisdom and your understanding before everybody. God again said, all of these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you keep my commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 2. Again, because of God's commandments, that's the important factor here. The promise is keeping God's commandments, and you will receive blessings galore. God also said, I will not fail thee or forsake thee as long as you do not disobey my commandments. This is taken from Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. So the promise is God will constantly be with you. He will not forsake you or fail you, but you have to keep his commandments. Again, all three of these promises are involved in keeping God's commandments. Okay, the question again is, for this hour, are you standing on God's promises? All right, let's get to the study. Now, as always, before we get to the study, I want to again remind you that the Bible is written in code. My precious brothers and sisters, that means mysteries and secrets in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is to study and learning. That is why we've come tonight, to study and learn. So let's get with it. Now to the study. Turn with me to Psalms. We're going to look at Psalms 88, verse 1 through 6. And I would like to say that there are 150 Psalms in our canon, and I've written 232 instructions. Now, Psalms 88, verse 1 through 6, as I read it, I want you to keep in mind the instruction that I've identified to bring us to an understanding of what this psalm means, and it's in my opinion. This is the instruction. Another prayer when you are in despair. Now, there are many, many, many prayers throughout the Bible. Now, in the book of Psalms, we're looking at the prayers that the psalm writers wrote in particular. And this particular prayer is from the sons of Korah, 88 verse 1 through 6. It says, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer become before thee. Incline thy ear unto my cry. And remember, Paul says to pray constantly without ceasing. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. Now, because of our nature, the curse of the Garden of Eden, the knowledge of good and evil, that has weakened us. Free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness and in the depths. Remember, we were kicked out of the land of Eden, and that was because of sin, and that's why we were in the lower pits. Now let's go to verse 9, and we're going to look to verse 14 for completion of this thought of prayer in your despair. My eyes mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Selah. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or in thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent me. Lord, why cast thou off my soul? Why hidest thou face from me? And we know that all of this prayer tells us that we are in jeopardy. And we are in jeopardy, yes, because of our sins. And not because of the sins per se, because we know that Jesus Christ has died for our sins, but we are still under the workings of the flesh and the spirit, that knowledge of good and evil, and that's where we're held accountable, and that's why we suffer. And now, before we get to the comparison, I want to take a break.
Everybody could become an expert at anything at a drop of a hat. Would there be any rewards for it? And I think you have the answer even as I ask the question. Got a couple of good buddies. They used to live down in South Alabama. Their names were Bernard Haygood and Jimmy Glenn. One day they're out riding through the South Alabama foothills and they got a little thirsty. Well, Bernard was the driver. He's also the athletic one. So he hopped out of the car. He ran around to this old abandoned pump there in the back of this old farmhouse. And he grabbed the handle of the pump and he started to pump. Now, let me say that when old Bernard grabbed that handle and started to pump, you know, since it was August and brutally hot that day, he was anxious to get some water out. So he really got after it. He was just a pumping away. And after a couple of minutes, he said, Jimmy, you better get that old bucket over there and dip some water out of the creek. He said, we're going to have to prime this pump. All that really means is that you got to put something in here before you can expect to get anything out here. The pump is really saying in another way what we've said so many times, and that is that you got to be and do before you can have. Too many people stand in front of the stove of life, and they say, stove now, you give me some heat, and then I'll put some wood in you. So many times the employee goes to the employer and says, now give me a raise. And when you give me the raise, I'll start coming to work on time. I'll start doing the things you really want me to do. What they're saying is reward me now, and then later I'll perform. That's not the way it works. First, you've got to put something in before you can expect to get anything out. Well, old Bernard wanted to drink water. But the question is, just how much pumping are you willing to do in order to get that drink of water? And after a few minutes, he said, Jimmy, I just don't believe there's any water down there. And Jimmy said, yes, it is, Bernard. You know, in South Alabama, the wells are deep. We're glad they are, aren't we? Because, you see, the deeper the well, the cleaner, the sweeter, the purer, the better tasting the water is. And isn't that another lesson the pump can teach us? Isn't it true that those things which have value, I mean real value, are those things which we have to work for over a period of time? Yes, it's absolutely true. That those things which have value, which have real value, are those things which we make that honest effort to acquire. We work at it and we do a little sweating in the process. And by now, old Bernard is really beginning to sweat. I mean, it's August. It's hot. And finally, he just threw up his hand. He said, Jimmy, there just ain't no water down there. Jimmy said, don't stop, Bernard. Don't stop. If you stop, that water's going to go all the way back down. And then you're going to have to start all over. And isn't that the story of life? Isn't it true that so many people lose out on a lot of effort they've expended in the past because they don't do just a little bit more?
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we are back to the instruction and we're going to complete the understanding of this prayer that the son of Korah gave to Israel as an example of how to apply it to God. And we're going to look at what the New Testament complement has to say concerning prayer. And this is what I suggest that we do. Listen to what the New Testament complement says. Prayer is good in general, period. We want to talk to God. But this is how Jesus taught us to pray. And that is the model that we should draw from in order to pray whenever. Despair, thanksgiving, joy, pain. We're going to go to Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 11, verse 2 through 4. Luke chapter 11, verse 2 through 4. And this is how Jesus taught his apostles. And Jesus said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Very important. We want to constantly be fed whatever it is that is positive coming from God. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. And that is so important, my brothers and sisters. As we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil if we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost residing in us. And we should ask for that. And that forgiveness, that repentance is what is going to get us through and over that hump of despair. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that prayer or conversation with God is essential to our well-being and salvation. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? Essential to our well-being and salvation. We must talk to God constantly, as Paul says, without ceasing. Okay, let's go to the next instruction, instruction number 120. We're going to go back. Well, we're going to look at Psalms 89 this time. We're going to go to Psalms 89, which again, this particular psalm was written by Ethan. Ethan only wrote one. Ethan the Ezrahite. He wrote one psalm, or he may have written many others, but it was only one that was chosen to be put into our Bible. Now, this is the psalm that we're going to read the text. 89, verse 3 and 4. 89, verse 3 and 4, and then we're going to go to verse 20 and 37 to complete the thought that the instruction is going to give us. This is the thought that I want you to keep in mind. The instruction is God's covenant with King David. God made many covenants, and this is the particular one that he made with King David, and this is what Ethan is rehearsing to Israel. This is what Psalms 89, verse 3 and 4 says, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And verse 20 through 37 completes the thought when Ethan says to the Israelites, I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foe before his face and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness may and my mercy shall be with him, and in the name shall he exalt and be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the river. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. For his children forsake my law and walk not in my commandments. If they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgressions with a rod and their iniquities with stripes. And just so you know that David was special like you and I are special. And when David went wrong, he got disciplined. When we go wrong, we get disciplined. Verse 33 says, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take away from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, not after the things that I have gone, not after the thing that is gone out of my lips. God says, whatsoever he says will come to pass. It will not be forsaken or return unvoid. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before us. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven, Selah. My brothers and sisters, even though this was about King David, we are special in the eyes of the Lord, each and every one of us. So from birth until death, even if we don't have what David received, we have what we've received from God. And God is going to hold us accountable, and we should understand that our pact with God, our covenant with God, is to be saved through this walk of life. And if we keep his commandments and be saved, everything that David received, meaning the benefits he received from his salvation, we will receive from the same. And now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go to Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22, and we're going to see how Jesus put it. Luke chapter 22, verse 15 through 20. Luke chapter 52, verse 15 through 20, and we're going to see how Jesus compares and agrees with this, how gave us a covenant today, the one that we should keep. This is primary, my precious brothers and sisters, this covenant with Jesus. He says, likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Behold, the hand of, I started reading from the wrong verse, and since I see that the hour is at break, we're going to take a break and then I'll come back and complete this thought.
We all have opportunities to give up on what we're believing for, walk away from an uncomfortable situation, slack off, not be our best. But if you're going to reach your highest potential, you have to stay committed. You can't be moved by what's not working out, give up on a child because he's not doing what he should, slack off at work because you're not being treated right. You have to have a made-up mind that you are in it for the long haul. It may be difficult. You have a good reason to walk away. Don't take the easy way out. Stay committed to your marriage. Stay committed to raising those children. Stay committed to your friends. They may make mistakes. Give them some grace. Don't be a fair-weathered friend. Be committed in the good times and the tough times. Stay committed to your dreams. Don't give up on the promises God put in your heart. It may be taking longer than you thought, but God is still on the throne. He's a faithful God. He's already set the time to bring it to pass. Somebody they can count on day in and day out. You're not always going to feel like it. There will be good days and tough days. Times when it's exciting, times when you feel like giving up. That's when you have to dig your heels in and say, I'm going to do the right thing when it's hard. I'm committed to this marriage. I'm going to love you even though you don't deserve it. I'm committed to this job. I'm going to be my best even though my supervisor isn't treating me right. I'm committed to my dreams. I'm not going to give up because I don't see anything happening. I'm going to keep believing, expecting, thanking God. I know it's on the way. God rewards consistent, faithful, committed people. But too many people are wishy-washy. They'll love you as long as you perform perfectly. Not, they're out of there. They'll be their best if you keep them encouraged, keep them propped up. They'll pursue a dream as long as they're getting good breaks. Their commitment is based on things going their way. But when it's difficult, when it's taking longer than they thought, they get discouraged, start to slack off. Well, Joel, I don't like my job. They don't treat me right. That's why I show up late. That's why I play on the computer half the day. You're not working under people. You're working under God. The scripture says promotion doesn't come from the north or the south. It comes from the Lord. Well, they don't pay me enough. I'm undervalued. If they would pay me more, I would do more. But if you don't pass the test of being your best where you are, showing up on time with a good attitude, doing more than you have to, then you'll get stuck. They may not be paying you what you're worth, but your job is not your source. God is your source. He determines how high you're going to go. No person, no supervisor, no company can stand against God. He knows what's happening. He sees what's unfair. When you stay committed to your job, when you keep being your best day in and day out, despite who doesn't like you, God will make it up to you. God is your source. He has the final say. But Joel, it's difficult to stay committed to my job, committed to my marriage, committed to this dream. Nothing's going my way. If it was easy, everyone would do it. God chose you because He knew you can handle it. You have the courage, the strength, the talent, the anointing. You're not weak. You're not lacking. You are full of can-do power. You didn't come this far to stop now. The people that see dreams come to pass are the people that stay committed. On the road to your destiny, halfway through, every person will be tempted to give up. Some turn around and go back. The others stay committed and keep moving forward. What's interesting is both people travel the same distance. One goes halfway back to where they started. The other goes halfway ahead and reaches their goal. Committed people outlast the difficulty. Committed people stick with a relationship even though they have a right to walk away. Committed people go the extra mile and do more than they have to.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's complete the thought on instruction number 119, God's covenant with King David. We read what the psalmist Ethan said about it. Now we're going to read what Jesus Christ says about our covenant with Him. And this is what we are supposed to, I say, respond to today. It is Luke chapter 22, verse 15 through 20. And this is what Jesus's covenant with us is. And it says, "And Jesus said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And then he took bread, gave thanks and brake it, and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. This is what we should do for Christ. This is the covenant Christ made with us. And if we do this, we are guaranteed to be in his favor. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that if we accept and keep the covenant of Jesus Christ, we will be saved. Remember, my precious brothers and sisters, Jesus told Zacchaeus that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. So that is what is significant. In the book of Matthew, he says, I did not come to call the righteous, but the wicked to salvation, or to repentance for salvation. And that's the instruction I want you to understand, that that's the covenant we have. Our covenant is to be saved. Amen. And now let's go back to the next instruction. We're going to go back to, again, Ethan's Psalm 89, verse 14 through 18. Psalms 89, verse 14 through 18. It was written by Ethan. And this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. My brothers and sisters, do you know the joyful sound? The blessing comes with knowing the joyful sound. Jesus told us, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light, I am the life. Think that Jesus Christ is our joyful sound. Do you know him? And this is what Nathan taught Israel in the Old Testament about knowing the joyful sound. And it's verse 14 through 18. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. My brothers and sisters, that is the prelude to the joyful sound. Just judgment, habitation, mercy, truth. Now listen to verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound, that they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. That is the light of the countenance that Ethan is telling Israel, the mercy and truth, the judgment and justice of God. Verse 16 says, in thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Again, the joyful sound includes righteousness, for thou art the glory of thy strength, and in thy favor our horn is exalted. For the Lord God is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. So Ethan is pointing directly at God Almighty for Israel's sake, because, of course, the Messiah had not yet been born. Now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement. We're going to see how Jesus put it in Luke chapter 11, verse 28. In Luke chapter 11, verse 28. And this is the whole tamale, if you will, the coup de grace, or as the French say, the coup d'etat, the deciding factor. This is what Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, verse 28. But Jesus said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. That is the joyful sound, my brothers and sisters, hearing the word of God and keeping it. Remember what God said about his son. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every mouth will confess and every knee shall bow. My brothers and sisters, that's what I want you to get out of this instruction. The joyful sound is the name of Jesus the Christ. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction 121. Turn with me, if you will, back to Ethan's Psalm, or Psalms 89, written by Ethan. Verse 38 through 46 is what we're going to look at. And as I read the Psalm, I want you to keep in mind that this is the intention or the instruction that we should take from this reading. Sin corrupts God's covenant. Okay, now we know that we need to be in God's covenant, and sin corrupts God's covenant. And this is significant. We know that Jesus came and, well, I'll say at that time, Jesus had not appeared. So sin was still corrupting the covenant of God with the Israelites. And this is how Ethan put it in Psalms 89, verse 38 through 46. And since I'm going to read quite a bit of verse here, what we're going to do is stop for a break, and then we will continue.
John Maxwell here. Today's Word on Minute with Maxwell is grace. It truly is one of my very favorite words. When you think of the word grace, if there's another adjective attached to it, it's the word amazing. And the reason we talk about amazing grace is because grace is amazing. Now, I'm a person of faith, and so when I think of grace, I think about forgiveness. I think of having space in my life to be able, through God's care and grace and kindness, to overcome and to be forgiven. What I would encourage you to do is not only be grateful for the grace that you and I receive, the blessings that we receive in life, but I would encourage you to become a grace giver. maybe the best thing that I could ever do for you or that you could do for someone else is to extend grace to them, to forgive them, to give them another chance, to turn the other cheek, to walk the second mile. I think that there is probably no higher calling than for us to be grace givers to others. And I know this for myself. There have been times I've really messed up. And what I needed more than anything else was not correction. What I didn't need is a lecture. I just needed somebody to say, it's okay. You're forgiven. Let's move on. So today I would encourage you to take this word grace that is truly amazing and extend it to someone else. Make a call that perhaps you haven't made for a while, or get into a conversation perhaps that you haven't had for a while, and extend grace. I will promise you, when you are a grace giver, you experience for yourself personally an abundance of grace. I promise you that. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's complete this thought. The instruction is 121, and it's sin corrupts God's covenant. And this is how Psalms 89, verse 38 through 46 gives us a good glimpse. That's why I'm reading so many verses. A good glimpse of how sin corrupts God's covenant. And this is what Ethan said in this writing. But thou hast cast off and aborted and abhorred. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. That's because of sin. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought him his stronghold to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. This is what exactly happened to Israel during all of its captivities. Verse 43, thou hast also turned the edge of his sword and has not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth have thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame. Selah. How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Now, for Israel's sake, those who especially are in Orthodox Judaism, they are still under this climax or this calamity that Ethan is talking about. We who are under Jesus Christ have received reprieve. And this is what we're going to read about in a second. But I want to just make a quick reference to Genesis chapter 3, verse 11. Genesis chapter 3, verse 11. This is why Israel is where they are today. Verse 11 says, and he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat of it? And we know that tree is the knowledge of good and evil. And this is what's going to complete this thought if we turn to chapter 2, verse 17. In the same book of Genesis, it says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. My precious brothers and sisters, Israel is still under that calamity. They are still under the knowledge. Well, we're all under the knowledge of good and evil, but they have not received access to the knowledge of everlasting life because they have not received Jesus as their Lord, God, and Savior. That's the difference. Now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement. We're going to look at Mark chapter 7, and we're going to see how Jesus puts it. Mark chapter 7, and this is what Jesus told us, and this is how we've received the repentance to overcome the corruption and calamity that has beset us through sin. Mark chapter 7, verse 15 and 16 says this, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him defiles him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile the man. If any man has ears, let him hear. And this is what Jesus is telling us, completing the thought in 20 through 23. This is what causes us to fall short of the glory of God. And Jesus said, that which cometh out of a man defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile the man. That is causing us to be corrupt in our covenant with God and Jesus Christ. But we have repentance through Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, and that gives us a reprieve. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that today the evil workings of the flesh and spirit, according to the knowledge of good and evil, corrupts us with God. So that's the point that I want you to take from this instruction, that is the reason. The evil workings of the flesh and spirit, because of the knowledge of good and evil, corrupts us today with God. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to Psalms 90. We're going to look at a psalm that was written by Moses. Ethan wrote one psalm. Moses wrote one psalm. Psalms 90 was written by the man Moses. And we're going to look at verse 3 through 11. And what we're going to do is look at or keep in mind this instruction as I read the verse to you. The destiny of man, according to Moses. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? This is our destiny because of our sin. And this is what Moses said. Verse 3, thou turnest men to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. Remember, we just read, because of the knowledge of good and evil, our end will be death. That's destruction. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night, meaning God is on eternal time. We're on standard time. That's what gets us into trouble too. Thou carriest them away with a flood, like a sheep or a sleep. In the morning they are like grass that groweth up, and then it flourishes. In the evening it is cut down, and it withereth. For we are consumed by thy anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. We cannot hide from God Almighty. We can hide from one another and shield what we're doing from one another, but not from God. Verse 9 says, for all of our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. And that is because of the knowledge of good and evil. From cradle to grave, we are saddled with that, my precious brothers and sisters. Only through everlasting life can you get a reprieve from it. Verse 11 concludes the thought. Who knoweth the power of thy anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. And we are told by God, because of the knowledge of good and evil, the day you eat of the tree of that knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And my brothers and sisters, why are we still eating from that tree? Okay, let us go now to our New Testament compliment. We're going to see what the New Testament writer in Hebrews says about this. We're looking at chapter 9, and we're going to look at verse 27. And this is what it says. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, because of the knowledge of good and evil, but after this, the judgment. And the judgment is key, because that's where our workings are going to either allow us to go into heaven or prevent us from getting into heaven. So that's what that compliment is connecting to, and this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we cannot get out of our physical death. But through Jesus Christ, we can get out of our spiritual death. My brothers and sisters out there, there are two deaths, one physical, one spiritual. Those who do not get the reprieve through Jesus Christ are subjected to both. That's the key, and that's what I want you to understand. Okay, let's go back now to The next instruction, 122a, and this is the, we're going to look at the Psalm again, Psalms 90. We're going to take another instruction from what Moses gave us, and it's going to be verse 11 through 15. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verse to you. God shows his repentive heart. Oh, my God. That means that Moses prophesied about this. He didn't use the name Jesus Christ, but he pointed to a repentive heart from God. Remember, God did not repent for those who were living on the face of the earth in the book of Genesis. He wiped them out by a flood, but he found favor with Noah. So because of our favor with Jesus Christ, that is going to be our repentive solution. Now, what I want to do, because the time is calling for a break, let's break, and then we'll complete the thought or the instruction.
Just imagine Jesus didn't feel like it. Just like when he was praying in the garden, he didn't feel like going to the cross, but he did it anyways. Matthew chapter 14 is one of my favorite stories. It's one of the 34 miracles Jesus performed in the Bible that is recorded. And we believe he performed a lot more than 34, but it's one of the 34. And I want to go through verse 13 and 14. Now, I think it's important to understand the context in Matthew chapter 14. Leading into verse 13, Jesus just found out that his friend, John the Baptist, has just been beheaded. And so he gets this news, and you can just imagine what Jesus is going through. I mean, this is the guy that he had baptized him. This is someone that he loved. This is someone that he cared for. I mean, this is someone that truly impacted his life, that he loved so much. So you can just imagine one of the people that Jesus was closest to, and he gets the news that John was just beheaded. So we start in verse 13. Now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. Of course he did. He wanted to be away. He wanted to grieve for his friend. He wanted to grieve for someone that he loved so much. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. I want to touch on this for a second because I think it's pretty incredible. So Jesus just finds out that one of his best friends, one of the people he loves more than anyone, just got beheaded, and he wants to get away, so he tries to get away, but there's all these people from all these cities that are following him. So he sees them. And he doesn't say, no, I'm dealing with my own problems right now. I'm dealing with my friend who I just lost. He says, no, I see them, and I have compassion for them. So instead of just trying to handle my own emotions, I'm going to meet other people's needs. And I'm going to go heal the sick, and I'm going to give, even though I really don't feel like it. You could just imagine Jesus didn't feel like it. Just like when he was praying in the garden, he didn't feel like going to the cross. But he did it anyways. Because we don't have to live by our emotions, we get to live by our convictions.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to complete this thought. The instruction is, God shows his repentive heart. And this is what Moses said in Psalms 90, verse 11, about it. Who knoweth the power of thy anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. And again, Jesus, God said, we mentioned it earlier, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. That is God's repentive heart. And we're going to go to Mark chapter 2, verse 17. And this is how the New Testament compares and agrees with what I just said And Jesus heard it, and he said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus is God's repentive heart. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God wills that all mankind be saved. And we know that's what Paul taught Timothy. In fact, in the prophet Ezekiel said that it is not God's desire that any of the wicked should perish. And that is us, you and I, my brothers and sisters, we are the wicked. So we can see that that repentive heart comes with Jesus Christ. All right, let's go to the next instruction. Come turn back with me. We're going to go to instruction number 91 this time. And David wrote this in Psalms 91, verse 1 through 4. And we're going to, I want you to keep in mind this instruction as I read the Psalms verses to you. Who shall dwell with the Most High? My brothers and sisters, this is what David rehearsed to Israel. This is he who will dwell with the Most High. David said, he that dwelleth in the secret places of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The secret places of the Most High, Jesus taught us that the kingdom of heaven is within you. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Jesus is the truth of God. Jesus is the spoiler from the noisome pestilence and the snare. Jesus is our refuge and our fortress. Now let's go to the New Testament complement, and we're going to see just how true this is. Turn with me to Matthew 25, verse 21. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. And this is who will dwell with the Most High. This is the parable Jesus gave, and it says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So who shall dwell with the Most High? He that has been faithful. And where is faith pointing? To the grace of God, Jesus the Christ. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. Jesus said, he who keeps my words, the Father shall receive him. And he who keeps not my words shall be condemned. That's what I want you to understand, that he who dwells in who shall dwell with the Most High? Those who are in Christ. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to instruction 124. We're going to look at Psalms 91 again. We're going to be reading verse 5 through 8 in Psalms 91, another instruction taken from what David wrote and told the Israelites or rehearsed to the Israelites. This is the instruction that I want you to draw from the text when I read it. When you dwell with God, you receive. This, my brothers and sisters, is what you're going to receive when you dwell with God. This is what David rehearsed to Israel. Verse 5 through 8. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. What we are hearing from David is when you dwell with God, this is what you receive. You will receive protection like Job received, even though Job didn't realize that he was being or getting ready to be thwarted with besetment from the devil and even his three friends who came to visit him, he stayed the course. He stuck with God and he dwelled with him. And at the end, he received tenfold of what he had previously. So that's what we should understand from the Old Testament. Now let's go to our New Testament. We're going to look at John chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 16 and verse 18. John chapter 14, verse 16 and verse 18. And this is what Jesus says. Now, we who dwell with Jesus, this is what we can receive. This is what we can expect. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John that if we obey his commandments, that he and the Father will come and make his abode with you, with us. He will live in us, and he will give us the Holy Ghost, that other comforter, the promise from the Father. And we know that the Holy Ghost guides us in all truth, teaches us all things of God, brings back to our remembrance everything that Jesus Christ has said of God, who will give us the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. And we know that with the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit, we overcome whatever besets us. That's the key, my brothers and sisters. And this is what I want you to understand from the reading of this instruction. Spiritually, that the indwelling will be your habitation, and you will not fall, but be sustained forever. That indwelling, my brothers and sisters, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, will give you, in essence, the wisdom of God, the love of God, the knowledge of God, the joy of God, the faith of God, the peace of God, the healing of God, the long-suffering of God, all those attributes that Paul identified in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in Galatians chapter 5, verse 23, will be ours. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to instruction 125, and this is what we're going to this is what's going to be identified. We're looking at Psalms 91 again, verse 9 through 13. Psalms 91, 9 through 13. This is what David rehearsed and said. He said, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge of thee, and they will keep thee in all thy ways. And they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and otter. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under foot. My brothers and sisters, because you have made God Almighty your habitation, that is the instruction that I want you to look at. This is what John chapter 14, verse 23 says about that. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if you love me and keep my commandments, my Father will love you, and he and I will come and make our abode with you. My precious brothers and sisters, that's the key, that we will be filled with the Godhead. And that's what I want you to understand. When you make the Lord your habitation, you will be filled with the Godhead. Okay, that completes our instructions for this evening. And as we are about to complete, I want you to know as we sign off that the host and I want to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement. Good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Join us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you enjoyed our program. Good night.